Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is working out fine, huh?
I'm really sorry, guys. I mean, I...
Quite all right, we're broadcasting now, and that's what counts. It is August 27th, and this, believe it or not, is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Ghostly Talk is broadcast live from the haunted Warren Winery in beautiful Warren, Michigan on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Oh, yeah.
We bring lots of interesting folks to the paranormal world. Your ears, your iPods, your computers, and the radio waves.
Yeah, the radio waves apparently. Well, we almost didn't today.
That's okay.
When I think I got it, I don't. So we're happening now. Sorry to OmniSound. Sorry to our affiliates. The stream is running now. I swear to God.
We have an exciting show lined up. We've got, of course, Tushy Galore coming from GhostGeeks.com.
He's one of our new field reporters. One of our new field reporters. We're in Nighter Tonight.
David John Oates of ReverseSpeech.com.
How cool is that? That's what we've been waiting for this to happen for a long time.
Yes, it's been I think I only got to talk with him in channel one in an IRC chat room once.
Yeah. Yeah.
David Brockie, that's Odorous Urungus from GWAR.net.
Oh, yeah.
Returns to amaze us with stories of the unexplained and rock and roll.
We need to make this clear that he forces us into this stuff. Well, we really don't want him on the show.
But
yeah, right.
We have to be, you know.
We'll get killed if we don't.
That's the thing.
You have to understand that GWAR is taking over the earth, and we can't stop them.
Damned to an eternity in hell, or have him on the show.
Yeah.
Let's have him on the show.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have no choice. We have to do this.
I want to talk about something, though. There's a lot of news. There's a lot of news, and we want to talk about just all kinds of things. I mean, we had our own little party on Friday night. That was fabulous. And you guys went ghost hunting and everything like that the next night.
Yeah, happy anniversary to me. Yay.
This is all great,
wow.
But...
Love you, Amber. Okay, go.
Thank you. We all do.
Yes.
But this thing hit the papers during the past couple of weeks.
Really?
And I've been dying to talk about it.
Let's do this.
There's an ad.
Okay.
All great truths begin as blasphemies. Which, of course, is a quote from George Bernard Shaw.
Okay.
It says, imagine a world with an infinite supply of pure energy, never having to recharge your phone, never having to refuel your car. Welcome to our world. At Stjorn, we have developed a technology that produces free, clean, and constant energy. Our technology has been independently validated by engineers and scientists, always behind closed doors, always off the record, always proven to work. The challenge. We are therefore issuing a challenge to the scientific community. Test our technology and report your findings to the world. We're seeking a jury of 12, the most qualified and the most cynical. Get involved. Register at their website. I'm not going to read it. Anyway, Stjorn.
Stjorn.
This is simultaneously, I guess, both a company in Ireland, and an institute of sorts, where they do things for the medical community.
Okay.
It was founded in 2000. It was founded in 2000.
All right.
And they've made several interesting breakthroughs and things like that. They, you know, for medical community stuff. I mean, they've done good work.
Yeah.
They're reputable.
All right.
Then they put this ad. Well, this ad. Then they put this ad. That's a poor copy. I told it to print it quickly. Then they put this ad in. Where do they put it in the? It's not Forbes, but it's that kind of a magazine. Last month.
I couldn't. I don't.
Or remember. I mean, the middle of this month. Nine days ago.
9 days ago.
A full page, full color ad.
Can I see this?
Yeah.
Please.
Full page, full color ad.
Well, it looks good. They did a nice job.
Oh, let me see. As a matter of fact, I might have where they put this ad. It's just absolutely amazing. The Economist.
The Economist magazine.
They put it in the Economist magazine. That ad right there.
Mm-hmm.
Claiming to be able to produce energy from nothing.
A world with infinite supply of pure energy.
Right.
Well, this is pretty. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, God. But you have this look on your face, Doug. Like, you want to just take this paper and take it to the person who made it, or who made the graphic that you printed out, and stuff it down their throat.
Well, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about it in a general and specific sense as well, I suppose. But I want to talk about it that, first of all, claims of this is a claim of an over-unity device.
Okay.
They claim that they have created something that produces more energy than it uses.
Okay.
Which, of course, there's several laws that say that can't happen.
All right.
You know, the law of conservation of energy, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Uh-huh.
There's several different things that say that can't happen. And they're saying that, you know, we're tearing the world apart. We are redefining physics as we know it. We've created an over-unity device.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is I've been – one of my fascinations is mm-hmm. with the – is with the attempts at creating things such as over-unity devices. And I've been trying for a couple of years to get a fellow on Ghostly Talk to talk about it.
I know. We've discussed this.
He will not answer my emails. Has never answered a single email of mine.
Does he not know who you think you are?
He does not know who I think I am. Can you believe it? He's one of the principals involved at KeeleyNet. Okay, Jerry Decker. He's probably the single most tuned in and clueful person about this kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he evidently has no interest in amateur media.
Probably
right?
not.
Which is fine, and especially in Ghostly Talk. I mean, it's sort of not really related, you know, ghosts and over-unity devices. How can those be related?
But every time we say that, we find something that conclusively relates to what we're doing here, though.
Well, I mean...
We do. We do.
If you break the laws of physics tomorrow, or today,
call us,
or last weekend, there's something going on, and mm-hmm. we don't understand something, and I want to know about it.
Yeah, we'd like to know about it.
So, over-unity, Keeley, you know, it's KeeleyNet, I think they're a .com or something, K-E-E-L... Y-N-E-T.
Just type in KeeleyNet and Google, and it'll take
you
right
take
there.
And he's got files that he's collected from decades ago. Because he ran the Keeley Fido thread or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, on the old bulletin board.
All right.
And so they've collected a whole bunch of stuff, very interesting stuff. And I refer to it very often when we were talking about Tesla and the car. Right,
mm-hmm.
Tesla's
yeah.
car.
Yeah.
That I pulled a file off of KeeleyNet because that is in order to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I went to, of course, Wikipedia and KeeleyNet.
Yeah.
David John Oates, he's coming up later on.
Yeah.
Right? I went to, obviously, reversespeech.com,
mm-hmm.
David's website, and
wonderful
I went
website.
To KeeleyNet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got tons of stuff. I happen to pull off of KeeleyNet a series of articles, two articles, written by David Oates in 1990.
Wow.
16 years ago.
We're going to save these for him, right?
And, yes, but so KeeleyNet's an invaluable resource, and
yeah.
Jerry Decker won't have anything to do with me, which is fine. I don't care. But I am glad that for KeeleyNet and what he's doing over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad for it. I'm glad that somebody's watching this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? But what I'd like to say about over-unity is I've been studying it for a while with the help of KeeleyNet and all that stuff, And there are indeed people trying to build these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's people trying to build over-unity devices. But so far it's been pretty impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody does seem to make one, right,
yeah.
it gets broken or stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
that's kind of weird.
Or they kill themselves by... shooting themselves in the back of the head.
Because saving the planet is just too much to cope with. Why wouldn't you kill yourself?
Exactly. You know, it is a very
frustrating.
And that
is by far my favorite method of suicide.
Back of the head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or small of the back is always good. Yeah.
Or strangling yourself. That's always my favorite.
Strangling yourself
Strangling
works
yourself.
Very well.
I've tried to strangle myself so many times, right?
I'm like, oh my gosh, I now know the meaning of life, and I'm going to, instead of sharing it with the world, I'm going to write down that I know it, and then I'm going to strangle myself.
Well, I'm not that dude from NXS or anything like that. You know?
I'm just saying,
I've tried to strangle myself before, and I have been unsuccessful. But there's a lot of people out there, especially people that have these breakthroughs that seem to be very successful.
They are successful.
With strangling themselves or shooting themselves in the back of the head. I mean, all these really, because it's very common when you see someone who commits suicide that they would shoot themselves through the back of the head. Or they'd strangle themselves. Or they'd, they'd accidentally run their car off a cliff, which that can happen, I guess. You know, but that does happen, too. So, I think people get the point.
Like, Jessup and the fellow from
Phil Schneider.
Yeah, there's like all these kinds of things that happen when you know something or figure something out.
Let's talk about the elephant in the living room, though. All right.
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that happen? Because we know it would change our world.
It takes a certain type of person to make these breakthroughs or learn these things or figure these things out, and those people are almost 100% suicidal.
Well, here's the thing. I think here's what will save their lives. Here's what will save their lives. If you are the person who's going to invent these wonderful gizmos that'll save our planet, right? Here's what's going to save your life. Along with giving the design specs over to a company to do this, you have to give them a marketing plan, too.
Oh, good idea.
A return on their investment. You will stay alive then. You will survive this thing. That's all you need. It's very simple. Do that, and you'll be able to, go longer on this earth and maybe enjoy some of the fruits of your work. So I'm out of here now.
What Stjorn is saying... Okay. They're saying that they have put these magnets in somewhat of a circle. And, you take a magnet.
Yeah.
And you arrange them in a circle.
All right.
And you control the magnetic field, right? You turn this magnetic field on and off. And you can do this electrically. Because electricity and magnetism are related through a coil or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not a physicist. But you control this field magnetism so that... Something can travel around in this circle.
All right.
And stop at its starting point. Zing, zing. And as it does this, it gains energy. More energy than is used to actually control its movement or make its movement happen. This kind of thing, though, has been tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it has always so far failed. There are some things that are interesting. The what's it called? The testatica.
Testatica.
The testatica. There's this group of religious zealots in the Swiss Alps somewhere, and they have these machines that were developed by some guru guy, and they. I've read reports about this.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting about the reports, one of the reports is by a guy named Hans Holzer.
Oh.
But it's not, I don't think it's the same Hans Holzer.
Oh, not the same Hans Holzer?
Yeah. I'm unsure. But I read all these different reports about the testatica.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's absolutely shocked and amazed that it's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wow, that shouldn't be doing that.
Mm.
But, of course, the religious sect does not want anybody to put their hands on this thing. It's protected under glass, So, unfortunately, you can't do any real scientific evaluation of it.
Mm. Well.
Oh, and you know what? Because we're not ready. They're religious.
We never are, Doug.
Yeah, I know. Nobody's ever ready for these things.
Nobody.
I keep yet I hear everybody talking about. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for 100 million miles a gallon, and I'm ready for UFOs.
Well, we're ready. We're ready because we're feeling the crunch on that. It'd be nice to get 500 miles to the gallon in your automobile. It'd be really great to have that. But again, I don't want to sit here and preach. I'm not going to do that. But we know why this stuff doesn't happen. Why it's dying on the vine. You hear about it 1 week and you go, hey, wow. Finally, somebody's got it right. Somebody figured it out. Congratulations. And then a week later, all right, we're hearing about the war in Iraq again. what's going on?
If you could make a refrigerator-sized power plant to supply your house with, you know, how do they measure electricity in kilowatt hours?
Mm-hmm,
or something.
Mm-hmm.
To supply your home with energy,
mm-hmm.
right? In that amount of space
yeah.
or so, if you could make or less, you could make this kind of thing. You would turn the energy industry completely on its knees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's way too much money in power. There used to be way too much money in telecommunication, which is why VoIP is absolutely scaring, you know, a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so there still is a lot of money in oil and fossil fuels. So what happens is that they're going to have a tough time. They're going to have a very tough time.
Well, it's going to be, again, without we're dancing around it, and
I think
everybody knows what's going on.
Right. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And they said that one of the reasons that they put this ad out,
mm-hmm.
saying, we want a group of 12, we want a jury of 12
mm-hmm.
scientists, and you have to be skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, but every scientist on the planet is going to be skeptical of an over-unity device. It doesn't happen. You don't make these things. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, maybe not. There is one way to make it possible, from what I read, because I read a lot of different bulletin boards
All
on
right.
this. And there is a way. If they were able to create a magnet with only one pole and have it not be... Have it not, like, disintegrate or...
Well, yeah. That's how it stays together, from what I understand.
Right, but you can... Evidently, this can be done, but it takes a lot of energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
To create a monopole
right.
magnet. And but if they have effectively split a north from a south pole of a magnet, and they can exist independently, there's something that can be said for that.
Well, it's a very interesting idea. Hopefully, I mean, they put this advertisement out. You obviously saw it, Doug. I don't know how much validity it has. They're calling out 12 people, obviously. They want 12 people
right.
to come and work on it. Well,
they said we went around and we asked.
Mm-hmm.
We went and asked scientists. We said, hi, Mr. Scientist. We want you to validate our over-unity device. And they, at which point, of course, each scientist that they asked laughed
mm-hmm.
and said, oh, no, thank you very much. You know,
yeah,
I'm sorry, I have, you know, a house and
yeah,
a
I don't
wife
want to lose
and
it
kids
over this.
And a reputation, and I've published books. And,
uh-huh.
and you know, I just can't. I can't put all of that, my entire life's work, on the line for your fantastical claim.
Mm.
So they went and they published in The Economist. Now, is this a hoax? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Why do it now? What's so special about mid-August of 2006?
I equally, I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea.
I would like to know as well.
That's an interesting question, though. Why is it happening now?
Maybe 6 months from now we'll find out. Maybe we'll know in the future.
Well, it'll be interesting to keep an eye out on this thing. I mean, we should both. Well, obviously, I think both of us are going to keep our eyes open and see what transposes with this advertisement. And I'm sure you're going to keep you're going to be watching this very closely.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Because you came in today saying I want to talk about this, and I'm like, okay. I mean, this is a serious subject to you, and that's
it's very serious.
Yeah.
It's one of my
subject to all of us.
Yeah.
It's a serious subject to all of us.
And all this started as I was looking up how to increase the gas mileage on my truck.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you figure out how to fix your truck or make it or
well,
the gas
well, there's a couple of suggestions, but for the most part, it's all common sense.
Don't run the air.
There's no magical pill you can add to your gas tank, and there's those additives that say that they're going to increase.
No.
They say that none of that stuff works. The magnets on the line, on the gas fuel line, that doesn't work. All those things that they say are going to help, they don't help. It's all common sense.
Oh, yeah. It's all common sense. One thing I think people can do concerning automobiles like that is not to drive so fast. That's one thing that you can do. Don't
right.
gun the motor so hard. Don't,
right.
don't think you're racing on the freeway. You're just going to work. Relax.
Well, one thing I want to check out as well is what about using... Because they did say that lower weight oils,
mm-hmm.
if you use 5W30 instead of 10W40, for example,
mm-hmm.
That can increase fuel economy, but by a tiny fraction. But I'm thinking if you take a couple of different techniques... And increase your fuel your mileage by, you know, a little bit of a bigger fraction, you know, even a percentage, 5%, I'll take it. You know?
Well, even by switching viscosities of oil in your car, you say, well, yeah, if you move down to a 5W30 as opposed to a 10W40,
right.
It's only going to be a fraction of saving money.
But if you combine that with something else.
Well, if you combine it, if you take 10,000 or 20,000 cars, Doug, that one little fraction that you maybe, which you're not too excited about, if you multiply that times 20,000 cars, it could be a substantial savings.
Right. If you could save, you know, a tank a day over...
Yeah, it's going to add
over
up.
A neighborhood combined, mm-hmm. save a tank a day.
It's going to add up.
That's not bad.
It's the little things that count.
Over 10 years...
Yeah, it's going to add
up. A lot of dead dinosaurs.
So, in my opinion, anything you can do, even if it's just like maybe a drop... of fuel that you're saving by doing this, if you can measure that small, do it.
Well,
I'm all about that. Do it.
They say that aftermarket air cleaners,
mm-hmm.
instead of using or air filters, those paper air filters, mm-hmm. instead of using those, if you use the cotton ones, the ones made out of cotton and different fibers which are reusable. You never have to buy another air cleaner.
Oh, really? I wish they would have told me that last week. They just changed mine on my car.
You pop it out and you rinse it off and then you reapply oil or something to it, some kind of chemical to it,
mm-hmm.
pop it back in and it's good to go.
Oh, great. I just dropped $10 on a paper one last week.
Well, I mean, these ones are like 60, so you'd have the cost there isn't going to do it, you'd have to replace your air filter three times.
Even then, though, unfortunately,
they say between 1.5 to 3 miles a gallon.
Well, that's good. The problem you're going to have with people like that is if you're going to drop $60 on a part like that. First of all, most people only own cars nowadays. From this is just an average I've seen. Most people own cars for an average of 2 to 3 years now, mm-hmm. and they sell them or scrap them or they wreck them or whatever.
Who owns the old ones?
What's that?
Where do the old ones go?
They get resold. Some people buy, they use cars, they scrap them and rebuild a new car out of them. There's all types of things that happen. But most people only own a car for a couple of years. So if you got to replace, I don't know
what this is. There must be a lot of money in the world.
Well, yeah, there's. I don't know where it's at. I can't find it.
Doug has it,
yeah.
Not this week.
But
if
you take someone and say, okay, here's a new type of air filter for our car. It's really great. You don't have to ever replace it again. It's $60. Okay, now here is the other air filter that you've been using, right? In my case, for example. It's a paper one. You have to replace it once a year for $10. Now, I'm going to own the car for
two or three years. Like, that ain't going to help.
That's not going to, yeah.
But the thing is
as far as my money situation goes.
Well, but that's if you just look at a spreadsheet, that doesn't take into account the better fuel efficiency.
There you go. Now, that's a good point.
Because you could actually pay for it within a couple of months
$3
a gallon.
You're right.
You could pay for it in a couple of days.
you're actually right, Doug. You're completely right on that.
Then everything else is free money and better fueling.
How many people are going to look that far into it, though?
Nobody.
People are going to go about as far as I went.
Right.
They're not going to look at the offset of gas. Everybody I talk to about gas, I'm like, this is crap. What's going on here? Why are we having to pay so much? Well, you know what? Just do it. I got to get to work.
Well,
they don't think about it.
It's supply and demand.
Yeah,
if you demand less gas,
mm-hmm.
and they supply more gas prices are going to fall. So you've got to... But, well, it's not just supply and demand.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, folks. It's also greed.
It's a lot of greed.
Because right now the oil companies are banking all this money purely because a Republican is not going to get elected in the next election.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans and oil companies are friends. And I'm sorry, well, in this case, Republican and oil, the one in charge of the United States right now,
mm-hmm.
his family is oil.
Yeah.
So here we
go. It drips out of their hair.
Yeah.
But they're made of oil.
So I hate to get all, political and stuff, but right now they're taking all this money that they're doing and they're banking it because they know it's going to be a drought for them
mm-hmm.
for a while. And so they're building up their war chest.
They're building up a war chest.
And that's all they're doing right now. And I'm sorry if you don't see that.
Yeah.
But it's so obvious. It's painfully obvious to me. But, I don't ever have popular opinions on these kinds of things. But
you have a sensible opinion. That's good.
Well, sometimes. But in this case, I just see what's happening, and I can tell you. And that kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But if – what the most promising technology right now is not And that's because it still involves the oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
But the most promising technology right now is hybrid cars.
Absolutely.
Because of the... Because that, it doesn't completely rule out, I mean, the oil companies,
mm-hmm.
Who are always, you know, wanting their hands in your back pocket. And so, therefore, the hybrid cars, I'm shocked that they're getting made. Absolutely shocked. But
I was shocked when
happy.
I heard about that.
I'm super happy about it. But, the you know, that's the most promising technology now. All these alternative things, those other ones are, you know, less than interesting to me because the oil companies are going to have an issue trying to get their hands in the pockets. And there's too much
somebody
money in oil.
And somebody will die.
Yeah, people will
somebody
die.
Will
people
die.
Will commit suicide over that.
People
and
will commit suicide.
That's in quotes, by the way. so I don't know. I'm just really frustrated about that. But I am also, I don't know, I'm going to watch Stjorn,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully by the end of the year they will pick their panel of 12 distinguished scientists who are willing to put their careers on the line,
mm-hmm.
And reputations and how...
I think we should suggest some of our past guests to them. I think Sid Haig would be great on that panel.
Yeah.
As much complaining, I shouldn't say the word complaining, as much fact telling that he's saying
they
about
should,
the
they should also put, oh my God.
What?
Black Flag.
Oh, Henry Rollins.
Henry
yeah.
Rollins. Put him on there.
Yeah. Ironically, two of our past guests, you know.
Well, you said past guests.
No, but they're true.
The thing is, he'd take a look at it, and he'd be like, well, you know, either, you know, yeah, that's working, you got something there. Or he'd be like, oh, you know, this is all BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, you know, there's that guy behind the curtain cranking the wheel.
Sorry, this isn't the Wizard of Oz.
It ain't going to work,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
It's interesting.
They're very, very, you know, in-your-face people, and they'd mm-hmm. be like, BS, or, oh, wow.
It'd be good to see that, but you won't see that.
No.
They'll never even be thought of for this.
No, they want somebody with a reputation they can ruin.
Exactly. There you go. Why don't we take a quick break?
Okay.
Doug, interesting. No, I'm glad you brought that. I haven't yelled and screamed about gasoline in a very long time, and it was with as much driving. I've put over 2,500 miles on my car in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I if there's anybody for me interested in what you have to say about this,
yeah.
It's this guy sitting next to you right now. So good. I'm glad you're bringing this up again because it makes everybody think out there. And if you think this isn't related to the paranormal, how are you gonna get to your ghost hunts? How are you gonna travel to the next convention that's going on?
Well,
there? Okay, think about that.
It's not just that, but I mean, if they have redefined the way energy works in the universe,
mm-hmm.
and they've redefined physics by
yeah.
splitting poles and letting them exist naturally,
yeah.
or having them exist without energy,
mm-hmm.
Or by creating energy. If they redefined all that, then we got to think more about this energy stuff.
Absolutely, I agree. Why don't we take a quick break, though?
And everything's a wavelength. My wavelength is saying let's go to break.
Very good.
Because we got to get Tushy Galore on. GhostGeeks.com coming up. After that, David John Oates. And then after that, of course, is...
The Mighty Odorous Urungus.
Of Guar.
And I don't know what's going to happen tonight. This is not... There's nothing been scripted for this.
Nope.
You have to believe us. We have no idea what's going to happen here. So hold on. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Have you heard Midnight Eclipse Paranormal Talk Radio yet? Well, then go to www.midnighteclipse.net.tc and find out what all the fuss is about.
Thank you. Follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
Scott L.
And I was a pigeon, but I'm not.
I'm here.
This is Ghostly Talk. Like we said, we're back for another onion-smothered half an hour.
What?
With a side of potatoes.
A side of bacon.
Wow.
Ooh, a side of bacon. Health food. Health food.
Yeah.
Health food. That's what we're all about. Good health as we suck down these cigarettes and coffee. Well, me, I'm doing the coffee.
I have caffeine in my DT.
The caffeine is flowing. Flowing like an ever-flowing stream.
Caffeine and cough drops.
Right. You sound much better. You sound much better today.
Thank you.
We have these things called field reporters on our show.
Yes,
in case you didn't know, for the new listeners out there, if we have any, we have these things called field reporters on our show.
Yes, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. We started this project about a year ago, and we've had so many people come to us that wanted to work with the show. We're so thankful for that. Thank you all. Unfortunately, we can't like have 14 people in Kansas. It just doesn't work. You know, we try to keep it. But we do have people that are coming on that are doing tons of work out there, and one of those people is actually on the phone right now. Alyssa, are you there?
I certainly am. Are you?
I think we are. We should be here. I think everything sounds good, and we're ready to happen. So
All right.
I think this is great. So, Alyssa, welcome to Ghostly Talk. You are going to be one of our new field reporters. From what state?
Arkansas.
And we don't have anybody in Arkansas at all, do we? That's a brand new field.
Now we do.
Now we do. Awesome. Thank you for wanting to come and do this with us. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to the stuff you're going to be bringing to the show in the future. So, in advance,
thank you for that.
Thank
you for welcoming me into the Ghostly Talk family. I appreciate it.
Well, it is a big family, and we're proud of everybody who works with the show, and we just can't say thank you enough to anybody. That goes for everybody out there. We really can't say thank you enough.
Your website, of course, is www.ghostgeeks.com.
Correct.
What can we expect there?
Well, you can expect a website that hasn't been maintained very well recently.
Sounds like a lot of websites.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There is still quite a bit to go and look at and read, and I'm working on getting our EVPs up, but I wanted to make our EVP section where there's nothing printed under it stating what we think it says. And I wanted to make it where there would be a field where people could listen to it and type in what they think it says. And then be directed to another page with everybody's guesses and ideas, and so that it's not us dictating. And I haven't been able to figure out how to make that work yet. So.
How interesting, though. Who out there listening is a website developer person? Because if you can develop a module kind of thing to put up...
Wait, you are...
Oh, shut up.
Hey, Doug. You just volunteered. Congratulations.
Anybody
Doug and Scott are both computer geeks. That's them.
Anybody who can develop a module that would let you easily plug in a web page that would list, just basically list a bunch of WAV files with a little tiny description, you know, like, we got this, there were four people, you know, whatever, and then let people download and listen to it, and then type in what they think is said, right? And then have a link there so that people can, you know, go to a completely another page. You have to click the link. It won't, you know, take you there. In order to see what other people thought it said, like a kind of a poll kind of thing where you put the entry in. That would be a really, really valuable thing.
I actually know a way that may be able to be done. I might be able to help you out, Alyssa. I'm serious, too. I'm not just,
really?
This isn't just, this isn't just bannering on the air. I may be able to help you out. So we'll talk later on that if you'd like.
I want it all in JavaScript.
You want it all? Yeah. Come on. It's so fun.
JavaScript, CSS, and DHTML.
No, leave me alone, all right? Okay, Doug volunteered then, all right?
It's got to be a Web 2.0 interface.
Mr. Doc Admin over here. Love this guy. I love this guy. No, we can
actually
talk about that.
Actually, I'd like anything that would be able to do that. Because
yeah,
you're
really
right,
cool.
Alyssa, that would make it easier for folks to put up their EVPs like you're talking about, where it doesn't front-load them. And then maybe, you know, maybe on the page that they click on, you know, to submit their what they think it says, it might give more of a description of your analysis, but that's after presumably they've listened to it.
Right, because I don't want to taint what people are hearing. I want them to hear it fresh and be able to decide on their own.
Right.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. You know, unfortunately for the show here, when we have people presenting their EVPs on, you know, sometimes that just has to happen. In order to explain what's going on, to keep people understanding what's happening, we unfortunately have to, you know, to front load sometimes with these pieces of audio evidence that people bring on the show. But for a website like this is a great resource. And to set it up like that, to have people just come on there and listen to them. You can't click on the link first, though. That's the problem. People are going to click on the link first.
Well, if they do that, then they're front-loading themselves.
They're front-loading themselves.
It's not you doing the front-loading.
Yeah.
It's them doing their own front-loading.
It's kind of like reading the back of a book. You're just like, right. I don't want to
get
through it.
To the end.
So, no, it's a really interesting idea. We may be able to help you out with that. Or I should say I may be able to help you out with that, Alyssa. We'll talk about that more later, for sure.
Okay,
you guys have a team, though. I know I've been to this site and checked it out. You guys have this is ghostgeeks.com. Is this actually a paranormal group, or is it just the website itself?
It is a group. It's only three of us right now. We've been friends for years. And I was sitting and talking to one of them, Danielle. She's my best friend. I was talking to her late one night on her couch about our personal experiences, and we were talking and talking about it. And in my head, I just thought, oh, my gosh, we're such nerds. We're ghost geeks. And so it made me think that perhaps it would be fun for us to actually start going out and seeking out some experiences and then have a place on the web to put them up for the public and maybe start some dialogues about it. And we asked Elizabeth to join us because she's also very experienced. I think both of them are quite psychic. They've had a lot more experiences than I have. But we're all female, obviously. And we sort of go into things. I think Elizabeth is the skeptic in the group, but we kind of go into things with a sense of humor and a sense of love and compassion for the spirits that may be left hanging around. And that seems to really attract them. And we seem to end up with a lot of very playful spirits in our experiences. It makes it a lot more fun. It's not really scary for us.
Well, it shouldn't be scary. You know, a lot of people out there, they think that what we're doing is a scary thing. That's the preconceived notion. Again, that's the result of a lot of movie watching. And just really sparking your interest during Halloween, where you see all these images and scary stuff, people do get the wrong impression. I was just out last night working in the middle of the woods in the dark, by the way, with nothing but a flashlight, and I kind of felt how much I've grown doing this thing over the years, because I know about 5 years ago, I'd have been like, I'm not going there by myself. No way. I'm not going out there by myself at all. But this time, I walked right out there by myself. Tom Mott from GLPR was way back, you know, kind of hanging out doing his own thing, but I'm like, I'm going to walk in there and see what's going on. So I took my recorder and walked out there.
Yeah, 5 years ago, he would have said, Bonnie, go in there and check that out for us.
Bonnie, get in there. Go on recon. Check that thing out.
However, you should also know that investigating while alone is not considered
I know.
As valuable as investigating with someone else.
And you're right about that. But
should a ghost have appeared to you and said, "Hi, Scott L."
Yeah.
There would have been only your word about it.
And it would have been my experience. And that's all that really matters to me in a lot of ways. I mean,
I
want to
have been a corroborator.
You're right. You're right. You're right about that. But, you know, I have to say, you know, real quick, when we saw Jeff Belanger speak.
Yeah.
In Gettysburg.
Yeah.
He really put a lot of that in perspective. These experiences that you have, whether you're by yourself or you're with a group of people, they're still yours.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I couldn't prove it, even if I guys, look, I saw something. Well, there was no way there to corroborate with you. Okay, well, it's fine. I still saw something. I think I saw something. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did. Who knows? But that experience belongs to me. That's really important, I think, for people, too. I'm not saying go out there, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Alyssa.
I'm sorry. There's always going to be detractors, no matter how many people you have in your group that say, "Oh, I heard it too, and I saw it too." And even if you have video and audio evidence, there are always going to be people that say, "Well, you faked that in order to get publicity for your group."
Yeah.
That reminds me of the Mexico UFOs, the UFOs over Mexico City.
Yeah.
Like they've got everybody. Saw it. Everybody took film of it. Everybody was in awe. Everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, we just saw UFOs," and
it was still
nobody believed them.
Nobody believed them.
Everyone's like, "Oh, it was something else."
So really,
that was Jupiter.
You don't want to take the negative viewpoint and say, "Well, no matter what you do, people are going to still detract from that." No, people are going to still detract. Of course they are. We've been dealing with that since day one.
Yeah.
That's just part of the game, though. I mean, that's just part of doing this thing. And, yeah, I mean, if your sole purpose is to prove to skeptics without a shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is a real thing that you took a photo of or recorded on your recorder, great. That's the way you want to take it. I went out there because I wanted to possibly experience something, and if I did on my own, I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I'm cool with that, and I can't prove it to anybody. Boo-hoo. I can't do it. I'm sorry. But
did
I
you see a ghost?
No, I didn't see anything.
Oh, Thomas.
So there you all go. Right. Skeptics are loving that. They're like, "Yeah, I didn't see anything. It's cool." You know, you see, yeah, there's no ghost out there at all. It was still my experience one way or the other.
Well,
that's important.
We tend to go for the experience for ourselves, and that's number one. And then we share what we found or what happened to us, and if people believe it, that's fine. And if they don't, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, it was our experience.
Mm-hmm. And that's just being an open-minded person about it. There's going to be people. We've had people tell us personally, "I think what that thing you recorded or that thing, it's complete garbage." Well, okay, cool. That's fine. I respect what you have to say. Now, give me some reasons behind that, too. It'd be nice instead of just saying it's complete garbage.
Or tips. What could I have done
what
to
we
make
have done?
It more believable?
Because, again, skeptics are just as important, I think, than people that truly believe. I think people that are, like the approach we preach every week here, it seems like, you need to be, you have a healthy dose of both. You be open-minded enough to take in what you may have saw, but at the same time be skeptical enough to go, "Well, that may have been cigarette smoke, or that may have been mist in the woods or something like that." Have those healthy doses of both sides of it, and I think that's the best way to approach these things. That's really important. How do you guys approach this stuff, Alyssa?
Well, pretty much, like I said, we go for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We go for our own fun and our own experiences, and to just see what we can find. And we do our best to share it with whoever's interested in it. But we also understand that skeptics are working from a place of fear, and they, if they actually believed what they're seeing and being presented with, then that would change their entire existence. That would change their entire way of looking at the world and believing in whatever they believe in. And some people just aren't up for that. They're not up for the change.
Yeah, that's fine. Believe what you want. I've heard story after story about people who have had an NDE or something like that, and they believed in nothing before that.
And then their entire outlook changes.
Completely. People who didn't believe in ghosts, and they bumped into something when they were coming out of their bathroom that changed their entire life, their whole outlook. Sometimes that needs to happen to certain people. Depends on who you are, I guess.
I was just reading about the fellow who gives the ghost walks at, what is the name of it? It's like Cairo, or it starts with a C. It's a ghost town in New Mexico, or maybe Arizona. Starts with a C. Why can't I think of it? Oh, well. Anyway, he was evidently he was going there for quite a number of years, and then finally they said, well, why don't we move you in? we'll give you a permanent like place to stay, and then you can wear the uniform of a sheriff or something, and you can do this and that. And then he ended up like absolutely loving it, so he quit his job in L.A. and gives the ghost walks there now. And,
yeah.
And he absolutely didn't believe a single thing. He knew all the theories.
You know,
he read up on it. He took his job seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, though, he's seen so many inexplainable things that he's like, there's something.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. I've seen so many inexplainable things now, but before, I just didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So his outlook changed.
Yeah.
I have to dig that out. I was just reading that story. Alyssa.
Yes?
Have you met 8-Bit?
I have talked to him on the phone.
Okay.
And I've chatted with him, but I have not actually met him.
Okay. They went and spent the night on a tall ship called the Alyssa.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that. I actually have a postcard of the Alyssa up on my pin board right now.
Wow, not bad.
I grew up in the Houston, Pasadena, Galveston area.
Uh-huh.
And when the ship was brought in and docked there, it was quite a big whoop-de-doo. And, of course, anyone that knew me thought it was extremely neat because we shared a name and the spelling is exactly the same. And it was a big deal in my family. And for years, I got newspaper clippings from my Aunt Pat, everything concerning the Alyssa that showed up in the paper. So I'm very familiar with that ship, although I have not gotten to go and actually visit her.
Oh. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if there might be an opportunity in the future. I know that Elmo, that's 8-Bit, is running around like gangbusters in the Houston area.
He's working very hard.
Working very hard on paranormal endeavors, trips and investigations and bringing people together. Yeah, I mean, he's really working hard. And that was a commonality that I thought was too obvious not to mention. The tall ship Alyssa shows up, and we happen to have a good friend who's hung out in the chat room forever and shared tons of great information and who has one of the coolest names ever, Tushy Galore, coolest nicknames, I should say, ever. It happens to be named Alyssa, and then there's the tall ship Alyssa, and I thought, wow, that is like so incredibly cool. It's quite synchronous.
You may have noticed in the shout box quite a few times him saying little things like, I'm going to spend the night on Alyssa. That was purely to tease me.
Mm-hmm.
It was purely to get a reaction out of me.
Oh, my God. I thought we said we weren't going to talk about sex this half an hour. We got two things we need to do here, Alyssa.
Okay.
And none of them involve being
it's
on
time.
Alyssa.
It is
well,
time.
No. Well, there's one thing.
So embarrassing.
Okay, well, we can do
I
that.
Love it.
You want to do that first?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to do it, right?
No.
Come on.
I did the last one.
Come on, Doug.
I did the last one.
All right. Well, you need to be sworn in. You need to be knighted, Alyssa. You're not going to get away that easy. I mean, this is part of the ritual. Be lucky. Some people have to like take blood out of their bodies and stuff. We just think you talk for a few minutes.
Okay.
So, how we do this, if you've never heard it before, is I'm going to repeat something, and you're going to repeat it after me. And what this is going to do is it's going to set lock the bond of obedience. Okay.
Oh, is that what it is?
Wait,
obedience.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Dom Scott. Call him Master Scott.
You'll live by the gun and die by the gun. So,
I didn't know about this.
So unusual.
Without further ado.
I thought it was a silly ritual.
Well, this is a very, very important
ritual. Well,
it's
this or you and all the field reporters all have to get into a small phone booth together.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not
going to
happen.
Okay, so it's this.
All right, here we go. You ready?
I just answered that.
All right. I state your name.
I, Alyssa.
Do hereby agree to live...
I agree.
Okay. To live by the virtues and ideals of ghostly talk.
To live by the high virtues and what? Ideals?
Yes, yes.
Didn't know you had any ideas.
I didn't know we had any virtues.
If you ever find any, you also have to let us know.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
I will by next week have the Ghostly Talk logo tattooed on my right arm.
this is a temporary tattoo, right?
You can do it any way you want.
You can draw it on if you want.
All right.
Something about next week and a tattoo with Ghostly Talk on my something arm.
Okay, good enough. And I will also spray paint Ghostly Talk rules on the side of my car.
I will also spray paint Ghostly Talk rules on the side of my car, although with the same color of my car.
Oh, okay.
Still works. Lambda.
Lambda.
Chiggy.
Chiggy.
You said it too fast. Say it again.
Chiggy.
Scott L. rules. Scott L. is the god. Scott L. rules the paranormal community.
This is getting very one-sided.
Scott L. is an evil ego death beast.
Oh, shut up. I'm not an egomaniac.
I like evil death beasts. Scott L. is an evil death beast.
Say that.
Scott L. is an evil death beast.
She said that with sincerity, too.
I know.
I'm not an egomaniac.
Come on. I would say it with oomph and feeling.
I used venom in that one.
I loved it.
That worked out well.
High five over the air right now.
All right, here we go. We're not done yet.
Oh.
When I walk through the valley of darkness... I shall fear no evil.
I shall fear no evil.
For thine is the kingdom...
And the power...
And the glory...
Forever
and ever... Al Capone. Congratulations, Alyssa. You are now an official Ghostly Talk field reporter.
Oh, let me.
Okay.
Thank
pull
you.
The string.
I'm disappointed there is no Mecca High, Mecca Hi-Ho involved in that.
No, you got the Lambda.
You got the Lambda. Congratulations, you are now a Ghostly Talk field reporter. As a Ghostly Talk field reporter, you are now going to be able to enjoy the wonderful things that a Ghostly Talk field reporter enjoys on this site, which we'll let you know about that when we figure something out. Congratulations, though, Alyssa. Seriously, we have to thank you for signing up. We appreciate the help that you'll be able to give us down the road and the stuff that we're looking forward to the stuff that you're going to be talking about. Real quick, we got a couple minutes though. You said there was something going on in your town. I just want to talk about this really fast concerning some properties in your area.
Right. We had heard kind of through the grapevine about a house, an old farmhouse out in the sticks somewhere on a dirt road.
Uh-huh.
And we had heard that when someone tried to tear it down, when they brought in a crew to try to tear it down,
mm-hmm.
that there were all sorts of horrible accidents that occurred. One man died. And it's just a single-level, small farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that people were becoming horribly ill, and the team left, and no one else would go in and tear it down. And a reporter from a TV station tried to come in and report on it, and she, when she'd get up in the yard, would become horribly ill and projectile vomit, and the only relief was to leave the property.
Oh, my God.
And,
wow.
No one has been able to finish tearing the house down, and we rooted around, and we found out where it was. I found it actually from someone I was dating at the time,
mm-hmm.
who had been working on a crew for community service and had been brought in with the crew to clean the place up.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gone into the house looking for a bathroom and had been greeted by a dark entity.
Really?
And ran out of the house.
Oh, I'd be like, dark entity, where is the bathroom?
I'd be like, get out of the way, I gotta go to the bathroom, man.
He was in the bathroom at the time. Oh. It appeared at a most inopportune time. And other people on the team also experienced it, and they left and didn't even finish the job. And there it sits. And so he actually took me out to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he had talked to someone that lived in the area and found out that it had had a pretty dark past. And that a 16-year-old girl had hanged herself in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now owned by the city, and we weren't going to try to go into any of the buildings, but we did kind of step over some wire, and go up onto the property just so we could kind of look around a little bit, which we shouldn't have done. No one should do that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
No trespassing. I'm not doing that anymore. But and then after that, I took Danielle, my fellow ghost geek, and we went up there, and we brought cameras and took some pictures, and lo and behold, when we got home, we did see a noose hanging from one of the beams high up in the barn, and it had looked like it had been cut and tossed over the beam.
Wow, my God.
Very disturbing.
That's very disturbing. No kidding. Is there any way you can possibly get permission to check this house out in more detail?
I would like to. I have not been able to find out who to ask yet. They have it, oddly enough, you can walk up into the area where there's a barn and a little shed, but the actual house has been sectioned offer. It has a very tall barbed wire. Well, actually, it's chain link with barbed wire across the top,
mm-hmm.
all the way around the house. And they have it chained and padlocked.
Oh, my God.
So they don't want people in there.
There's something very wrong. And recently I tried to go just to drive by and gawk at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put up tall chain link gates across the road on either side of this property and with barbed wire across the top.
Hmm, it'd be interesting to find out why.
They have made the road completely unusable now. They have blocked off just that property.
Very interesting.
Yeah, keep us, try to find out more about it.
Keep us updated on that, please. And if you do get any new news, you are now an official Ghostly Talk field reporter, so you can come on the field anytime you want and discuss it with us.
Fabulous.
We got to go to break here. Hang tight, Alyssa, for
Thank
one second.
Thank you so much.
Stay on the line.
Yes. Coming up next.
Yes.
David John Oates, ReverseSpeech.com.
Can't wait for this. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.